we are going to nerd out on iOS.
Then I'm going to take you for a climb in a spooky mansion.
Before I show you a simple and beautiful way to manage your budget.
You know what? It's time for iOS Today. iOS Today comes to you from Twit's LastPass Studios. You're focused on security, but are your employees? LastPass can ensure they are by making access and authentication seamless, whether they're working in the office or remote. Visit LastPass.com/Twit to learn more.
Podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This episode of iOS Today is brought to you by Manscaped. Manscaped promotes clean hygiene when it comes to shaving your you-know-what. Don't emerge from quarantine looking like a Sasquatch. Get 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com/twit. Micah Sargent, I'm Leo Laporte. Everybody, welcome.
Welcome to iOS Today.
Micah is the boss of this show. Did you know that?
I'm the boss.
He's the boss of this show.
I say, hey, you know what we're doing this week? We're talking about nerdy stuff you can do on iOS.
Actually, this is appropriate because we want to dedicate this show to a wonderful nerd that we all adored, Grant Imahara, who passed away suddenly of a brain aneurysm at the age of 49 this a couple of days ago. And he was, of course, the Mythbuster. I did not know this, but he also rebuilt all the R2-D2s for the prequels and was one of three controllers of the R2-D2s in the prequels.
Really?
Yeah, he was an amazing, talented engineer and an admitted nerd. I'll never forget the day he came by our Brick House studio, and everybody, of course, because it's Grant, is like, oh, Grant Imahara's here, Grant Imahara's here. And he's so unassuming and sweet and kind. We did a triangulation with him. I as interviewed him for triangulation, and he was just fantastic. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, wonderful guy.
I got to look that episode up. I didn't know.
Yeah, and he really will be missed. You know, he was just a great nerd. So today, tabletop gaming. Grant, if you're watching, this is for you, buddy.
Yeah. So I think I'd like to hear you shared in the chat some really interesting tabletop games, and mine more focuses on tracking.
You got like 20-sided die and things like
that. Yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah. Whereas you have some options for actually playing, it seems, tabletop games on your iOS devices, which is exciting.
There is a whole category of new games, many of them from Germany, where they're taking the old, you know, Milton Bradley Hasbro gaming and bringing it into the new nerdy century. These are strategic games, often games that take some attention and planning. They're intended for tabletop. They're intended for usually 3 to 6 players. And they're so much fun, but they're also hard because there's always a lot of manipulation. There's cards and pieces and die and all sorts of things to handle. Setting up the game is often complicated. And my big gripe is I can never get anybody to play them with me. You have to be with a group of nerds. Now, once we come out of quarantine, I'm going to find a group of nerds. In fact, here in Petaluma, they just opened a tabletop gaming and wine bar.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they did. Now, I was looking forward to checking that out before all of this happened.
I have a feeling, I hope they're still there when this is all over. But I thought that was a great idea. You can get little snacks and you can go in and you don't have to have somebody to play with. You can go over to the Carcassonne table or the Settlers of Catan table and say, let's get a game going. So I'm going to show you, I think, three of the best games for tabletop gaming. The games that I've owned for some time but can never get anybody to play with me. And I would say, in every case, these are three pretty good interpretations of the game. This is Carcassonne. And actually, let me do this via Apple TV, because I think you want to hear this is a really quite a visceral experience. So I'm going to put this up on the Apple TV here while we play this game. Let's go to input 6. There you go. Carcassonne. And we're going to go back to the main menu. This is kind of the prototype for a lot of these games. The idea is you're building a medieval town, and you're competing with others to control the roads and the cities. Complicated already. And it's actually a fairly simple game to play. Notice we can do two things. We can do a local game, which if you're like me and can never get anybody to play with you, you can play. But there is an online version, which is nice. So I have to say, and we talked about this earlier, these games really are better with real people in the real world. So you can actually add players, and you have some choices on the AI players or the computer generated players. You can play AI focused, AI builder, AI aggressive, AI conqueror. These are different styles of play. So let me have a conqueror in there as well. So now we're going to play with 4 players, and we can choose, which is really nice. You'll have to pay extra to unlock some of these expansion packs. One of the nice things about all these tabletop games is as they became popular, they would add additional features. So once you kind of mastered one version of it, you could add features. But I haven't unlocked any of those. Those are in-app purchases. Do you want to play with fields? Yeah. Dead tiles? Yeah. Remaining tiles list? Yeah. I don't, you know. This is for more advanced players. You don't have to worry about this. And let's just play a game. I'm just going to show you briefly the strategy. So in the real world, you would be placing these cards to build a town or a series of towns, to build an area. The nice thing about Carcassonne when you're playing with a computer is you actually get to... It'll actually tell you what the next card is. It's down here in the lower right. And it'll show you where you can place it. Because Carcassonne, the way it's set up, can only be placed in a, you know, cards can only be placed where they continue a road. They don't block something. Now, I have a choice. I can claim one of 3 parts of this card, the road, the fields, or the town. I like claiming towns because that's a potential for a lot of, points. So I'm going to say that. So that's my move. I placed a card. I placed a man. And now the other players are going to do their thing. Oh, see, he's already built a city. That gave him 4 points. You get the idea. We're going to try vie to control roads, control cities. The person who does the best job of that wins. I like this idea here. Now, maybe people are going to see that I'm not really great at this. He's already got that. It's a really... Does this seem... Now, I have to say, this is a fun game to play because there's a lot of strategy. I mean, this is...
Right.
This is, chess-level strategy. It's also fun because you're competing. It's fairly quick. A game shouldn't take more than an hour. And if people are relatively speedy in their moves, it'll even be faster than that. I like to do that. So I couldn't claim the road there because the green guy has already got that road. So I won't play on and on and on with this, but this saves you a lot. You can imagine doing this in the real world. You need a big table. You got a lot of cards. They spread out. The quality of the players is going to vary. This is one where you want to play with the same people over and over again to kind of understand their style. And I think it's a really fun game. I'm a big fan of Carcassonne. I would strongly suggest doing it in the real world. But if you can't find a player, or maybe it's too complex to do all that placing of cards and placing of people and all that stuff, this is, I would say, is a very good implementation of this. And as you can see, it has all the expansion packs and stuff. So,
is there a way to, does it have one of those modes where I can generate a code and you can send it to people and then you can play together?
You know, I haven't played online. That's an interesting, let me see if I can go back.
Because that'd be super cool if you could play it with friends and family who are elsewhere, as opposed to randomly selected people online.
It looks like I can register it register an account. Let's just see. I wish it would let me. I love it when they let me use Apple to do that, right?
It's yeah,
so much faster.
It's so much faster.
You know, I did not bother to investigate that. But I'm going to guess that that's the case, that you could probably set up a game code and say, all right, everybody, let's play together. Because you don't want to play with randos. You really right. do want to play with the same people over and over again, like your Monopoly game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be nice.
Yeah. Your turn.
I could beat you in Carcassonne.
Do you think you would want to play that? Does it
look? Yeah, I could see myself playing it for sure. Yeah, it's that little bit of strategy where it's a little bit more of a brain tinkler.
Oh, it's much more. And what's nice is every game is completely different. Unlike Monopoly, where it's always the same.
It's the same.
Every time you play Carcassonne, it's a different landscape.
You get to build something at the all that kind of stuff is really good fun to me.
And the one advantage of having a computer do this is the scoring is a pain in the butt. A lot of these tabletop games, the worst part is the accounting. And and the end of this game, there's a lot of accounting. And so it's nice to have the computer to do that.
Yeah. The one that I want to talk about first, because it is a little bit less platform agnostic, is Dice by Peacock. So this app
is available
in the App Store for $1.99. And it is created by the developer, James Thompson, who makes the Peacock calculator app. That's why it's called Dice by Peacock. But there are a lot of tabletop games that use these polyhedral dice. And this is a great app for doing true random, or I guess pseudo random rolls. And then you can set things up. Like, I'll go into the settings. I can change the size of the dice. I can add sounds if I want to. You can have them actually speak those results out loud. There are different styles available.
Wow, he made this dice elaborate. I thought it was just an Easter egg. It's just very elaborate.
Yeah, it's a full-on system now. So I can change sort of the tint and the text of the dice.
Now, do you play D&D? You seem like you might have.
Yeah, so I'm a huge. In fact, every Tuesday, today is one of those days at 5 p.m. Pacific time. I play live. We stream it live online.
You're kidding.
A Dungeons and Dragons game.
Where would I Not find kidding. That?
You can head to. It would be the. Is it live?
Is it on Relay FM?
Theincomparable.com/live. So Jason Snell's The Incomparable.
Got
yeah.
It.
At 5 p.m. Pacific, other times in other places. If you head to theincomparable.com/live, you can also follow my Twitter account because I usually will retweet that we're live. But yeah, I play a half elf druid named Elevor, and we're currently in the midst of a wild chase against a vampire lord. So it's been pretty wild.
That's hysterical. Oh, I got to watch it. Who else plays with you on that?
Dan Morin, noted author. Aline Sims, a podcaster and the first person who got me into podcasting. Jane Ritt, she is an educator and also a big tabletop gamer. Tony Sindelar, who is the Dungeon Master, he is also a huge Dungeon Master tabletop gamer. And Erica Inson, who is a I think Nebula award-winning podcaster who does a Doctor Who podcast.
See, it might be generational. I must have just missed this.
The D&D generation?
D&D, yeah. Yeah, because I never played it. I've literally never played it.
Oh, man, Leo. It's so much. I mean, you have the right. It requires.
You need a good dungeon master, a storyteller.
You need a good dungeon master, absolutely. And you need character. I feel you need players who want to buy into the world. You know, you don't want someone who's just going to kind of sit there and ho-hum, la-di-di-da, but actually buy into the world and play. Because it's essentially you're all making a story together. That's the whole point of the game.
Right.
And so that's what's so much fun. There was one point, I know I'm going off script here a little bit, but there was one time where everything worked out perfectly. So one of the skills of a druid is that they can convert themselves into animals. It's called wild shape. And that's obviously part of the reason why I wanted to be a druid. And so I had turned into an octopus, and we were fighting this water dragon, and I had gone into the water dragon's hoard and found a potion of flight. And okay, come on. I found a potion of flight. So I was a flying octopus. It was hilarious. It was amazing. It was so much fun.
Now, the thing that people have to understand is there's no picture of a flying octopus. This is all in your
it's
mind.
It's all in your head, yeah.
Yeah. Which I guess exactly. is the best place to make this picture. You know, I'm looking at the D&D was first released in 1974. And that's why I'm not, because I would have been a freshman in college. It hadn't quite gotten through college, you know, to the college crowd yet. I probably literally missed this by a couple of years.
That makes sense.
Because you got to do this in college, right? Or high school. You can't do it in real life first.
Right, yeah. I don't, yeah, well,
I mean, you
maybe.
Could if
now,
you're really
especially.
Nerdy. Yeah, yeah, now I think, especially. I like it that you can do this online. Used to
I
be
will
you'd
say,
go, you know, in the back of the game shop and then set up a card table and you'd all play together, right?
Yeah, and in fact...
Or as in Stranger Things, in the nerdy kid's basement.
Exactly, right. Yeah, you'd get together and you right. would do it there. And in fact, that was kind of one of the things that popularized it for sure.
Stranger whoops. Things, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Popularized it again, I should say. But there are some... visuals as well. So I'll just show here. You can see that as we're playing, characters are there on the left, that we've got a map that that people who tune in can see live. So there's an aspect of it that's got some visuals to go
okay.
along with it.
Well, I'll have
but
to
yeah,
watch
for
that.
The
incomparable.com/live, 5 p.m. Is it every Tuesday?
Almost every Tuesday.
5 p.m. Pacific and Tuesdays. All right.
Yeah. Anywho, but Dice by PCalc, the reason why I
do
wanted
you guys
to talk
use
about
that?
That? Yeah, most of us do. Yeah. We also, I have some actual physical dice as well. So if Dice by PCalc does some rolls that I'm not happy with, it's random, obviously, then I'll say, oh, no, I'm switching to my real dice and then go back whenever inevitably I get a one with my real dice. So it's all silly. But that is because... this dice app has the polyhedral dice that you need for so many different types of tabletop games. There are
you
some
need
that,
as many surfaces as you need, which could
yes,
be, what,
exactly.
20 or more, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, 20 or more, yeah. So there's one. I mean, there is a whole bunch of different kinds that you might need, and 20 is the most common one in Dungeons & Dragons. You roll a d20, and that kind of helps shape what you do in the game. So yeah, Dice by PCalc, available for $1.99 in the App Store. There are other dice apps out there. With Dice by PCalc, you're supporting, you know, a great developer, but yeah. also the different types of styles of dice is one of my favorite things about it. There are yeah. so many different kinds you
yeah.
can use.
Yeah.
What's next from you, Leo?
Well, I'll show you another game that I think is a really fun, again, tabletop board game. But nicely, I would say very nicely moved to the iPad. The iPad really makes a very good way to play these games because it's especially if you have the bigger iPad, it's big enough to see the game. I wouldn't play this on a phone probably. This is
right.
This is called Ticket to Ride, and I'll just tap the icon here and we can start playing. So this is a not so dark. Sometimes people don't like the kind of medieval flavor of a lot of these games. This genre is more like 19th century railroading. But you, and again, they have an online version as well as local. And you have to create a Days of Wonder account, which I probably have done, but I'm going to pretend I think we're just going to skip the online play. We'll just show you the local play. But again, that's a nice version. And see, they make a little money, a little extra money. These all are a couple of bucks to get them basic game. And then there's in-app purchases where they can make a little bit of money. So we could play solo, which is just by myself. Local, which is, I assume is more like pass and play, where we're playing with other people, but we want the iPad to do the work. Let me just play solo for right now.
Oh, so I bet local is the game code registering thing. So we could play, Leo, we could play Ticket to Ride together.
You would, I think, enjoy this game. Yeah, so I create a game and then we play on the local Wi-Fi, right? And you can even say Apple devices only or not. if you, you know, you can choose the map. But let's just cause for purposes of showing you what the game looks like.
Yeah, yeah.
And sure. Same idea. I can add players. I can make the players be different. We probably should if they're all the same name. That's going to be very confusing. And then we can play. We're going to take turns trying to build a railroad across the United States. The longest route is worth 10 points. You start with 45 cars, and you can lay track. You're going to get these cards you see on the right, and we can lay track across the United States. So they're dealing out the cards that will be my cars from this deck. And then I will play first. So we don't really need to go on and on, but so this is, I can choose which route I want to build. Toronto to Miami, Helena, Montana to Los Angeles, or should we go for the big one? This is a 22-pointer. That is Seattle to New York. So I'm going to choose two tickets, two different routes I want to build. You get the idea. It's, you know what? Mm-hmm. If you think about it, structurally, this isn't so different from Carcassonne. We're trying to take over territory by building railroads. And there are, of course, you know, obscure rules and so forth. And I can drag my car to somewhere depending on the route that I want to build. I think we'll do that. Oops. Oh, I have to use a blue one here. Nope. All right. You can see that I have not played this game in a long time. There we go. So we're... So you get the idea, I guess. I mean, I think I don't need to belabor this. Lots of people love this game. You can see if we were playing in the real world, we would actually... It's actually a little different in the real world because you don't have a map. You're just laying down the track. But it's a fun game. I think it's a lot of fun. I think you would like it. It is more that, roaring 20s. Actually, it's even more the gay 90s feeling. And so it's a little lighter, a little more fun. Kids might like it a little bit better. Ticket to Ride. And I think this is a fairly good implementation, especially because you could have it be pass and play, so you could still play it as a tabletop game without all the cards and the die and all the different things, you know, that you'd have to be passing out, doling out. Less accounting, always good.
Exactly.
Actually, you're handling the accounting side of this. I'm doing the games. You're doing the accounting.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. Exactly. Yeah. In fact, my next accounting, for my next trick, I want to talk about Reroll. Reroll is a free app that lets you, it shows you how to create characters. And you can, that's often one of the problems. Anytime you start a new game that you want to play with your friends, specifically in the sort of D&D role-playing game space. So it doesn't just have to be D&D, but any of those role-playing games, you need to create a character, and your game master or dungeon master will ask you for an icon that represents your character. Reroll was created to help you facilitate that. And so there are two ways that you can go about doing things. You can just create a character. So I'll hit that plus button in the top right corner and make some character art if I want to. But it also walks you through the creation of a character specifically for Dungeons & Dragons. So I'm just going to do the character art only section just so you can see how it works. You can choose the type of race that you are. So we'll do... let's go with a furbolg, and we could choose a masculine character, a feminine character. I just did a feminine character, so we'll do a masculine character this time.
Then this
time.
Dungeons and Dragons again.
This is for most of the role-playing tabletop games.
Tabletop role-playing. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So we can choose a body type.
Did you use this to create your elf?
I didn't. I didn't know that this existed at the time.
Yeah.
This is a really nice thing. And so I had to use some sort of stock art to create my character.
Oh,
so
you can actually use this as an image for your game.
Yes, exactly. Nice. And a little character that can walk around in the game. So we'll choose that. You know, I can make adjustments to the facial hair. I'm just going to move through this a little quickly. Different hair types, bald, a big afro, kind of cool. Yeah, let's go with that. And then ears, because it's a furbolg, we can make adjustments to the ears. We'll stick with the standard ones. And then what do we call this furbolg, Leo?
Herman the Conqueror.
Herman the Conqueror. Point is a con. Yeah, there we go. And, well, maybe I guess his name should be Herman, and then we'll put his short bio down at the bottom. Herman the Holy Conqueror.
Herman the Holy Conqueror.
Whoops. All right, boom. We can tap done, and then we've got Herman there. Then, this is cool, you can make adjustments to his inventory. You can add different icons for maybe he's wearing a weird eagle mask, or he has a panda bear on his face, which doesn't work with the hair, so I'm just going to go with some goggles for him. You can change his shirt. And you get the idea here. This lets you create not only a character, but equip the character with the equipment that you would actually have. This pulls, these icons are created based on what types of content you can get in most of the tabletop role-playing games. So you'll notice that, you know, across the game, if you have leather boots equipped, then it's very easy to find some leather boots. And so your character can be pretty accurate. Maybe Herman the Holy Conqueror has a halo, for example. And his pants are obviously not pants. and he's got some gloves, some, what are those, VAM braces as well. Can equip his little lower icon there. I think that he's probably, yeah. And then his weapons.
Holy cow. This is elaborate.
Yeah, it gets pretty detailed.
So there's no, you could just do whatever you want?
There are rules. So
aren't there any rules?
There
seems like there are. This seems like anarchy.
This is anarchy because I'm just showing what's available to you here. But yes, you couldn't just get away with this. But then afterward, you can then share your character. That's okay. That email is out there already. You can share your character with your dungeon master, with your other, your fellow game players. And then you can also download the PNG and the character sheet if you so choose to create one, all from within this one app. So what I love about this is, say you're new to Dungeons and Dragons or one of the other tabletop role-playing games and you have no idea what you're doing, you can get this one app and it will not only do the character sheet, but it'll allow you to create your character. And I found that creating the actual look of my character was one of the things that helped me kind of start to care about that character and actually sort of get into character and be excited about what that character was going to do. So it's helpful to have both of those things at once and kind of have that in your mind as you're going about creating it.
Nice.
What's next for you?
And I should mention that Carcassonne was $5. Ticket to Ride is $7. Seven seems to be kind of the normal thing for these kinds mm-hmm. of, if they're the official game, and that sounds like a lot for an iOS game, but the actual board game, because of all the pieces and stuff, usually is a lot more expensive, $35 or more. So you're getting a deal. I'm gonna show what a game that came out about 5 years ago and quickly became one of the most popular tabletop board games of all time. There, it's even spawned some simple versions like a card game. I really like Istanbul, and it's a fun game to play. Now we're in the bazaar in Istanbul, okay? So this is a little bit different because you are a merchant, you have assistants, and you are sending them out to shop in the bazaar. The best thing about the actual board game is it comes with plastic rubies. And the merchant with the most rubies at the end of the game wins. And I really enjoy that as your tokens of victory. So you can see we're looking at the tutorial right now. It's a fairly complicated game. That's one of the reasons they created a card game that's a little simpler, a little less expensive, too. Let's meet in the Sultan's Palace to buy your first ruby together. So I'm going to go to the Sultan's Palace, and we're going to pick up a ruby. Welcome. Let's assume we are now rivals. In order to take action in a location where another merchant is located, you have to pay him 2 lira. So it's always worth having a small sum with you. Let's practice. I'm going to pay that guy, and he's going to let me into his location. So we're going to send out merchants, assistants throughout the bazaar. We have a wheelbarrow, which is a strange item. But in the wheelbarrow, we gain more goods, but also more capabilities. Main menu. Thank you. Finally. So we can do an online game. Again, I have to create an account to do that, which I'm not going to do. And I can't even get out of this. They're back. Let's do a new local game. And again, we can create AIs and we can give them different skill sets.
Ooh, I am loving the music.
Isn't it great?
This is really good.
Yeah. So we'll just do randomize and we'll create some random opponents there. Now, we can choose the game settings. We can choose short path or long path. We can do it in order. We can do it random. Do we want neutral assistance or do we want our assistance not to be neutral? Let's start the game. So, yeah, you could see this is a little more strategic. There's a lot more mechanics to it. If you've already played Istanbul a few times, we recommend you try this more tactical variant. You can change how your assistants are configured. So this is an official adaptation of the game. And so it's really designed to give people who love the game a little bit more of a sense of the game. I personally think it's more fun to play this game tabletop than it is to play it on the iPad. And I would say that's true actually of all of these games. But nowadays, maybe you can't. Maybe you want to play online against friends. You know, if you're socially distancing, this is an alternative. And I know, actually, I'll let you do a couple more. And then I added one more that I didn't have before, which is I realized all these games are perhaps a little too complicated, especially for kids. So I've got a game you can play with kids. It's a great card game. It used to be from Milton Bradley. It's really fun to play on iOS. So, I'm going to show you that your next.
Yeah. So, I've just got two more. These are also these ones do focus on D&D as well. It's the most one of the most popular tabletop role playing games, and D&D has been the company Wizards of the Coast has been working to create iOS tools that make it easier for you to play. Using your iOS devices. And so I want to give them credit where credit is due. And that includes a new app that just came out called D&D Beyond Player Tools. This is D&D Beyond Player Tools.
Ooh,
and as I
nice.
Mentioned,
this is fancy.
Here is Elevor, my half-elf druid.
So you were able to enter an existing character in there.
Yeah. So this is the character that over time has grown to level 7. These are his different.
Is that pretty high? It sounds pretty low.
It is not super high, but it is not low. Think of level 12 as being max.
Oh, okay. Being, in World of Warcraft, you know, if you have a level 70, then you're at the top.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. 7 is actually 7 is pretty high.
Add times 10, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. So right now I can see all of my different immediate scores. These are things where when you roll the dice, the 20-sided die, you know, you'd subtract 1 if it was a strength roll or add 2 if it was a dexterity throw. I've got different saving throws and senses. And then I can scroll through and see my different skills. So, for example, there would come a time where I was talking to a random non-playable character that the dungeon master is pretending to be, and I'm trying to persuade them. I roll a 20-sided die, and then I take that score of maybe 12, and I can add 6 to it because I have a +6 in my persuasion skill. So it's kind of fun where you would have that conversation, and then the dungeon master would say, okay, it feels like you're trying to persuade this character with what you've just said. Let's do a roll to see how well that affected them. You can see the different tools that I have. I've got a dagger and a scimitar. I could also do an unarmed strike, like a punch or something like that. So it shows all of my different skills here. And then it even goes as far as to show my equipment and more important, most importantly for a druid, the druid's spells that he has. So everything is available in here. You can track all of those things. So I could subtract hit points as I'm attacked. If I get temporary hit points to add to my total, I can add that as well. I currently have inspiration. That is a thing that a dungeon master can give out based on how well the player
acts. Can you give out R-E-S-P-E-C-T? Because that's what it really
same thing.
Means to me.
Inspiration is a way to get to re-roll the die at any point in the game that you want. Ooh, so, yeah, wow. The Dungeon Master will typically give that out if a player is doing really well, like role-playing the game.
It seems like this encourages favoritism.
I don't know.
You got to trust your Dungeon Master, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. And he's really good. Yeah, he's good at it. Yeah. Anyway, I have to, like I said, I have to give credit where credit is due because Dungeons and Dragons, or the Wizards of the Coast, came out with D&D Beyond, which was originally, and I'm going to show you the other app here, just a way to look at your player, the books that you had purchased, the content that you had purchased. And so you could see, you know, the books, the character guide and all of that information. And it didn't used to be as helpful as it was because you couldn't keep track of your character in it. It only lets you see, you know, how the game is played. So you'd have like your rules and stuff like that in there. That is the D&D Beyond app now. My voice is trying to go away on me. And that exists as a separate app that you can get for free with in-app purchases. And it has the player's handbook, the basic rules, the dungeon master's guide. So anyone wanting to, you know, try this out for the first time, you need to have the dungeon master's guide. You need to have the player's handbook in order to understand how to play. So those are the two that I wanted to mention. Leo, take us away with
a little less nerdy, kids. Just a touch less nerdy. Have you ever played, and this is actually one, I thought I'd add this because I realized the kids are going to be left out of a lot of this stuff. Mm-hmm. And a lot of us are stuck home with kids, right? And we want to involve them in this. And, you know, you give a 10-year-old Carcassonne, some really bright, motivated 10-year-olds probably would love these board games. When they get to be about 14, I think that's really, there's a sweet spot. But this is a game that even a 6-year-old will love. Have you ever played Mealborn? It was a great card game from Milton Bradley. I'm going to have to turn this one on its side because, I don't know, maybe it does do it horizontally. Unfortunately, my favorite version of Mealborn, which was from, I don't know who it was from. The original card game is Milton Bradley. I think that it's doesn't own it because I see a lot of variations and adaptations of it. My favorite was, because it's a French game, based on the French comic book Tintin. You remember that? Maybe you don't. But it was a wonderful, had the Tintin characters. That got pulled, and I don't know if it got pulled because, maybe it got pulled because it wasn't an official version of it. I'm not sure. This is the official version, I think, of Mealborn. It is a card game, and you can choose classic or coarse players. You could play this in the pass-around mode. In fact, I think it's the only way you could play this. You get dealt a set of cards. It is a really fun card game. And if you have the Mealborn cards, again, it's probably more fun to play this. The idea is you're going to play these cards and try to win a road race against your opponent. You have cards that will get you going, but you have cards that will also stop your opponent. But the first card you need is a green light card because you can't play the mileage cards until you've got a green light. You have a repair card. These are mileage cards which will send you respectively 25, 50, and 70 miles along the road. Mealborn means, I think it's their mileage markers, 1,000, it means 1,000 markers. This is a red light. You don't play that to you. You play that on your opponent, which means they can't go anywhere. And this is a speed limit, which says your opponent can only go 50, I'm going to say kilometers an hour. So,
that's nice.
Yeah. So I don't know where I'm playing this. I guess I can't play it. I don't know what's going on.
Because you don't have a green light yet? Or
No, I should be able to play at least the stoplight card. Because then if he gets a green light. Oh, I don't understand how this game works. I can throw it out. Maybe I have to play it. Oh, I do. I play it on him there. So I've played a stoplight card on him, which means even if he gets a green light, he can't. Oh, he does get a green light, but that not now he's only overcome the stoplight card.
Gotcha.
So now I'm still waiting for my green light. I've got a gas card, which will give me gas. I've got good mileage cards, a repair card, because he can force me to break down or run out of gas. I can't really do anything at this point. So I'm going to trash one of my low-level cards, see if I can get a better card out of this one. He can't go 75. Oh, I guess he can. He's gone 75 miles. Now, this is not, I have to say, this is not a great implementation because I don't see the course. I don't know what's going on here.
Yeah, how do you know?
Yeah, where? You know, boy, I wish the Tantan one were still around.
You didn't even have a green stop.
I don't know what's going on here. I don't understand it. This is not the traditional Millbourne I know. Hey, if I can play the big cards, I'm playing them. So we do know where we are, but... You know, you really, the best thing about the iPad games, this isn't a great one. This is the only one, unfortunately, the only one that's on, which makes me think that the folks who own the rights to this said, no, you may not do a Millbourne. If you can find the Tantan version of Millbourne, I showed this years ago. It is awesome. It has all the characters from the comic book series. It has a course. There's lots of emotion. It's really fun. I have to say, I'm a little disappointed by this one.
Yeah, that looks like it could be fun if it was.
It's not. It's a $1.99. So I guess I didn't need a green light to start. I just needed it if I had a red light, and that's why when he got his green light, he could go. So I'm not crazy about that implementation, so I'm not going to recommend it. But I will recommend the Milton Bradley card game, which you can buy at your local game store, because it's a lot of fun, and that's when kids can play. It's a step above Uno. Which is anybody, yes. You know, kids can play, but it's kind of dopey. I think Millbourne is like all the fun of Uno, but a little more sophisticated. And that is our tabletop gaming. Oddly enough, you are the most nerdy of the two.
Well, you did say, you said, I'm not a nerd, so I didn't know that.
I'm not that kind of nerd.
You don't consider yourself a nerd?
Well, I'm a geek, but I don't know if I'm a nerd.
Okay, so tell me the difference.
I believe.
Okay. Yes. Yes. For you, what is the difference between a nerd and a geek?
A nerd is almost an insult. A nerd is just somebody with poor social skills.
Interesting.
I believe a geek, on the other hand, is somebody who cares more about what's going on above the belt than below the belt. They're more, and they tend to have very distinct passions. So it is possible, I think, to be a tabletop geek.
Uh-huh.
A tabletop nerd implies somebody with poor social skills.
Gotcha. And
I don't feel like... I don't think that just because you're a geek, you have to have poor social skills.
Right.
So I think they're separate. On the other hand, that's just my definition.
Right, that's yours, yeah.
A lot of people think that all geeks are nerds. Mm. I would say there is an intersection of geeks and nerds, but not all nerds are geeks and not all geeks are nerds. In other words, you could be a tabletop gamer, nerd, and not be into technology, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
a nerd. Geeks really, I think, tend to be into technology. That's just my definition.
Right,
you know what
exactly.
I'd like to talk about? Because geeks and nerds, as well as normal people, or as we call them, normies, need to pay attention to grooming. Don't you think our sponsor...
1,000%.
Our sponsor, Manscaped, is all about manly grooming tools. Let me open my Manscaped box here. I've got... Oh, I love this. This is a great gift. If you are sheltering in place... With a gentleman, you may indeed have occasion to make some suggestions toward better grooming. That's when this Manscaped kit comes, the Perfect Package 3.0 comes into play. This is one of many devices offered by Manscaped in the Perfect Package 3.0. This is incredible. The Lawnmower 3.0. which is a amazing waterproof cordless body trimmer that has ceramic blades and operates at 7,000 RPM. That super high speed means fewer nicks. Well, no nicks. You can't really nick yourself or cut yourself with this. It's a safe thing, and it even has a special headlight. So when you're going down those dark tunnels, you can see clearly where you're grooming. And listen how quiet it is.
It's so quiet.
You can go into the bathroom, do a little grooming, and no one will even know, but you will emerge.
Excuse me while I freshen up for a
pristine
moment.
Into the world. It also comes.
Angels will sing.
It also comes with a beautiful crop preserver, the reviver. The cleanser, it even has a foot deodorant, which is nice. In fact, I love this incredible Manscaped shaving kit, which is really beautiful and nice. It's a luxury travel bag. You also get a pair of anti-chafing boxer briefs. No chafing is another important part of life. The trimmer, travel bag, the boxer briefs, all of this in that famous Perfect Package 3.0 plus peak hygiene plan. Ooh, you don't have to worry about keeping your blades sharp either. Manscaped will send you replacement blade refills every 3 months when you purchase the Perfect Package. This is a great gift. No commitment. You can cancel anytime, but what a great gift to send somebody. Now, I want to show you something new they just sent us. Are you excited about this? You had this all along.
Yes.
The new Shears 2.0 nail grooming
kit. Look at that gorgeous case.
Watch this. I love this. We open it up. We pull the little tab, and here's your nail grooming kit. This, notice, by the way, the metal box. So this is a really nice case. You get everything you need in here, a perfect pair of tweezers. You get the best nail. Lisa said that this morning. She stole mine. She said, these are the best nail clippers I have ever used. See that? And it's got a little file built in. I think this is a really nice. She says these are super sharp.
Oh, yeah. You can tell nice. It's got a nice, what is the word I'm looking for? Leverage. It's got good leverage.
Oh, so really good nails, leverage. Yeah. Really good leverage. And I love how they make it into this little compact form. Here's your nail file, your cuticle trimmer with the special tips so you don't actually stab yourself. They're really into safety while you're doing the grooming. I love this Shears 2.0 kit. Get those talons in tip-top shape for the summer. And yes, it's okay, gentlemen, to use this on your toesies as well as your fingersies. In fact, I would highly encourage it, because if you're going to be wearing those sandals, you don't want to have to wear socks. That's just a bad look.
Oh, God, please don't.
Please, no socks with sandals, folks. The Shears 2.0 is, I think this is a beautiful kit. I really do. And actually, it's so compact. It's about the size of a business card case. It kind of reminds me of a business card case. And if somebody sees it, they won't immediately go, oh, you're carrying, well, maybe the Manscaped logo would give it away, but you're carrying, it looks like a business card case, but inside, true nail grooming. Now, I am not going to the manicurist. I think it's important. I'm going to actually say something about this, because I don't think guys really get it. But ask your significant other how important it is to have clean, well-groomed nails. And you may be surprised at how high they judge you by your nails. I don't think people know that. I think I see a lot of guys with really scraggly nails, you know, cuticles all over the place, hang nails, long nails, weird nails. I was watching, I'm not kidding, I was watching David Letterman some years ago when he was still on TV, and I saw his nails. I said, I gasped. Now, because I often am demonstrating things with my fingers, like on today's show, I make sure that my nails are look good. But it turns out it's also really important for the loved ones in your life that you don't have talons, but you have nicely groomed nails. I don't know how to emphasize that more. Just ask a lady friend.
Yeah.
You know, hey, you know, how important? They judge you. If your nails are clean, well-groomed, they might even think about going out with you. So, folks, you can't go to the manicurist, but you can go to manscaped.com/twit right now. You'll get 20% off plus free shipping. I want to again say that waterproof cordless body trimmer in the Perfect Package 3.0 kit is unbelievably great. I have the it's a USB charger. I keep it on my sink. I never have any grooming emergency. I'm ready. I'm ready. And by the way, it has one of those guides, so I don't want to be naked to the world.
Yeah,
I like to have a little bit of something going on down there. I just want to keep the hedges in line, and for that, the guide is really useful. And I do think it's so important that you groom your nails. And I think this is another great. Does not come with a perfect package, but you should take a look at the Shears 2.0 nail grooming kit. They just put this new one out this month to get
your gorgeous
talons in tip top shape. By the way, I should mention. We don't mention this often, and I want to mention this. Manscaped cares about men and wants to do the right thing for their berries. That's why they're raising awareness about testicular cancer. Did you know, young man, it is the most common form of cancer among men aged 15 to 35?
Wow.
The most common form. So Manscaped's partnered with the Testicular Cancer Society to educate on the importance of early detection and screening. So, I think for a company that specializes in grooming those testiculars, it's good that they also support testicular health. With Manscaped, you have everything you need to trim up and defuzz for the summer. You know the worst thing? You put on a bathing suit and there's hair sticking out?
No. Oh, God.
No. This may not happen. This must not happen. Dudes, get real. Manscaped.com/twit. You'll come out of quarantine feeling fresh. We do. Our swim center opened up. That's really a nice thing. They're doing it all right. There's social distancing and spaced out the lanes and all that. You reserve a lane. But so you might be putting on that bathing suit this summer. You want a Manscaped first. Man, you don't want to look like, my God, he's been in a cave for the last 4 months, even though you have. Manscaped.com/twit. 20% off. I think the Shears nail grooming kit is a must. I still don't feel safe going. In fact, they just closed the manicurists again in our county. I don't feel safe going to places like that, but I do want to keep my nails nice. And I think, I don't know about you, but I think it does a pretty good job. I think that's pretty good.
I agree.
I do miss the polish.
Yes, but the final buffing stage.
The buffing, the shiny nails that you've been. And actually, this is better because it doesn't attract attention. It's just like well-groomed. That's kind of what you want. We're not talking being a peacock here. We're talking being a peahen.
Yes.
That's not what I meant to say. Manscaped. Well, no, the peacock has the big feathers. The male of the species, and the female of the peacock species, the peahen,
is sort of
very drab and
understated,
dull, but nicely groomed. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Have you ever seen a peahen in the wild? Nice
no,
groomed.
They're never poorly groomed. Never. Never a shaggy peahen. Don't be a shaggy peahen. Go to manscaped.com/twit. 20% off plus free shipping. And they sent us everybody. I think all the hosts got our Shears kit. And I wish they sent me one more because Lisa keeps stealing mine. It's a really nice manicure kit. I actually keep it in my briefcase because you never know. You don't want a hangnail to spoil a good day. It can.
Yeah.
When I was young, I used to bite my nails when I was a kid. And I don't know. Somehow I stopped. And now I really kind of, I want to pay attention to that. You know? I think one of my many wives, I think, once told me, Leo, we look at the nails. We care about the nails. That's a way to judge a guy. Does he keep his nails clean and nice? Then we know he's going to be well groomed. That seems sensible. Is it true among your people?
Oh my God. I have that thought about anyone, frankly.
Yeah. When I saw Letterman's talons, I said, that's disgusting.
I suppose there are situations and reasons, but I do, look at the nails and underneath the nails and that's not great.
Yeah. You should have washed, should have bathed. That's my other tip, by the way. They don't sell one, but they really should. A nail brush is a wonderful thing.
Oh yeah. You were just talking about the nail brush the other day.
I want to do a blog post. Because I want to do a blog post. Things my father never told me about male grooming. Dad never told me all this stuff. And
I kind of like that.
Huh?
That sounds like a cool.
I'm gonna do. It's in the works. And one of the tips is a nail brush. In fact, I have one now that has a narrow nail brush on one side and a wider brush on the other side, and I use that to exfoliate everywhere. Right? Mm-hmm. Just a light brushing everywhere. It's like Gattaca. Remember that in the movie where he's scraping all the DNA off? It's just a light exfoliating head to toe, and I think my skin looks better because of it.
Yeah, it makes you glow.
Makes you glow. Well, it makes you red. And then it makes you glow.
And then it makes you glow.
What's the news across the nation? Micah's got the information.
First up, iOS public beta is here.
Woohoo!
Folks.
We've all installed it.
Many people have installed the public beta, are trying it out for the first time, seeing how it works. Yeah, if you want to hop on the beta train, the iOS public beta here is here. It's at beta.apple.com.
As soon as you slacked me, I did it.
What are you thinking so far? How are you feeling about
it? Well, this is a good, we could briefly, because we've already talked about iOS 14, but I put, you know, it's funny because the benefits on the iPad are lesser. You know, you don't get widgets everywhere, just on the left.
Mm-hmm.
There is one thing, though, I really like. This is weird. They don't even mention it. Jiggle mode, which is, you know, how you move stuff around or delete stuff. Mm-hmm. Used to be you'd have to press and hold, and then they have the pop-up that says, oh, do you want to? And then so a few seconds later, jiggle mode. This is new, I think, in iOS 14. At least I've never seen this before. If you press and hold in an empty space, it goes into jiggle mode right away. Boom.
Nice.
I love that. There. So keep Boom. A little empty space on every screen. Makes it a little easier to rearrange. And I do like on iOS, on the iPhone, I guess I should just say, if I say iOS, that's iPhone. If I say iPad OS, that's the iPad. I do like this far right screen where all of your apps are in an app library. It's not the categories I would use.
But
it's okay. And you know, when you write your own software, you can actually have your own folder. So there's the Leo Laporte folder.
Oh, how nice.
Isn't that cool? So if you write your own iOS apps.
What is that app?
Well, I'll talk about that another time.
Oh, is this new?
Well, I've been working my way through learning iOS.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
How to program in iOS. So this is just a little. This is from. What book is this from? This might be from the Big Nerd Ranch book on writing okay. iOS. But it's a lot of fun. I do like the widgets on iOS on the phone. They do crowd out your icons though, so now your icon choices are might be a little bit more limited. But then you also have the Siri suggestion widget, which is nice. My favorite widget though is this stacked widget, where you've got a variety of things. So that's probably all I need to do is just use the stacked widget. But you see, I have the calendar widget. Most third-party apps don't yet have widgets. So that's not something that's yet. So I have to use Apple's calendar instead of Fantastical, which I far prefer. As soon as I get a Fantastical widget, I'll be very happy.
Same. I can't wait for that. I've been waiting for that.
And because it's not a widget, it also does not appear in the Today screen until you scroll through the widget portion, and then you can get to the
normal. I wonder what they're going to do about that. If those types of widgets are going to go away.
I don't know, because they're not deprecated, but they're down below now.
They're like so last year.
Same thing on the iPad, by the way. The widgets take precedence on the top of the screen, and then as you scroll down, that's another thing that's a little weird. Swiping is a little harder because you have to be careful what you're swipe. Well, actually, I haven't had that problem yet. All right, I take it back. For a while, I thought I couldn't swipe. Like, swiping wasn't responsive. So I don't know about that. iOS 14 is nice. Now, there are some issues. For instance, my bank, USAA, it's okay now. But you saw earlier it popped up, you jailbreak your phone, you can't use the app. So maybe they've updated now and they fixed that because probably a lot of people complain. But some apps won't work. I had problems with messages coming up with a blank screen I had to actually reboot my iPad before I could get messages to work again. But that's, you expect a few bugs. It's surprisingly stable for a public beta, I think. And if you like iOS 14, which I do, I think it's a big improvement, and iPadOS, somewhat less so. And the Scribble thing, that's cool. You can write with your pencil.
I do like the Scribble thing. Yeah. It's not been perfect, but it's been a lot of fun.
It's surprisingly good. I mean, that's a hard thing to do. My handwriting is
absolutely
terrible.
Yeah. Let's see. Oh, for folks who aren't interested in checking out the public beta, but want some new features, it's likely that iOS 13.6 is right around the corner. They just released the golden master of iOS 13.6, which includes Apple News audio, car key support, and some more things. So we talked a little bit about this before. Apple News, I guess Apple News Plus audio, was a feature that was going to add audio to articles in Apple News Plus. So you'd have your article and you could read it, or you could listen to the article being read, but with, in theory, the voice of the person who had written the article. It's unclear if that's exactly what they're going to do or if they're going to have somebody else read the article. But I think it was Farhad Manju of the New York Times who had done something like this, where he read an article of his that was published. So yeah, kind of interesting stuff there.
Did they? I wonder how that happened. Did they ask him to do that, or
that? See, that I think the Apple News Plus audio thing is really fascinating, but I don't know any of the behind the scenes stuff.
Kind of,
I wish I did.
Putting them in the podcast business, sort of.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's what makes it fascinating to me. And then car key for folks who may not have heard about that. It's like a digital key for your car. So with automobiles
if
that accept
your car
that, support it,
is a BMW. And I can't remember the model.
The BMW 5 Series. Is currently the one that supports it, but there are a load of cars that are supposed to support it in the near future. We'll see.
Yeah.
So
it's
yeah.
far better than the current, you know, fob technique, which is not a, you know, that actually is not very secure.
Not very right. Yeah. Exactly. So, yeah, you can look forward to that soon. In
Although
theory.
There are other car manufacturers. Sam was telling me, our car guy, Sam Abul Samad, was telling me that there are some manufacturers who do their own thing and have even the same. I think was it Volvo that lets you send the key to somebody else and that kind of stuff.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. I can't remember who it was, but there's another car company that does that.
I thought this was interesting. So with iOS 14, there is the alert when the app will look at your clipboard and try and pull something from it. We had talked before about how different apps, TikTok was an example where it seemed every two or three keystrokes, it was saying, hey, I'm looking at your clipboard. I'm looking at your clipboard. I'm looking at
your clipboard.
Exactly. Sniffing your clipboard.
We found out why that's happening, by the way.
And now LinkedIn is being sued.
Yeah, that's BS.
Because of this.
It's a class action lawsuit. LinkedIn said it was a bug. TikTok, everybody will fix it. But I found out what's going on, by the way. Why so many apps? 56 apps at last count. And I bet you as more people use iOS 14, we'll find more. It's a Google ad feature. So if you, as many apps do, this is very common, and I suspected it was this. There were just too many apps that had the same bug. Mm-hmm. If you copy and paste code or use a library that Google provides for people who have Google Ads in their apps, that's in that code. So that's where the problem lies.
Holy moly.
The suspicion is, and this, by the way, thank you, Louise Matsakis, who was on Twit on Sunday. She told me this. She's a feature writer at really good, smart writer at Wired. She said what Google's doing is looking at your clipboard for keywords to provide you with ads. And so this is part of the Google Ad Network. It's apps that have Google Ads. And the way to fix it is just turn that off, Google Ads. I imagine Google will fix it. But that's she believes, and I think she's right, that's what they're doing. They're sniffing. They're not trying to get passwords. They're not trying to, you know, find out what your secret romance is. They're just looking for keywords, just as they used to do in Gmail. They're looking for keywords on your clipboard so that they can feed you ads.
All right. See, here's why this is frustrating to me, because for the longest time, I have been trying to convince my significant other that he still has this fear. And I think that it becomes reasonable after a certain point, even though we know as tech people, it's not the case. He has this fear that different apps are listening to the things that he talks about. And I've explained, you know, if you are doing a search for this, if you are Google searching this, or you are on a certain app and you talk and you type about this or whatever, then your Google searches and all that kind of information will pull things up. But there have been times where we have had a conversation about a show and, you know, he within the same day ends up showing me an ad on his phone for merchandise related to the show, or more information about the show, yeah, or articles. Yeah. And I've been trying to, and he goes, see, they have to be listening. I'm like, I promise you they're not using your microphone to listen to you. But this is something that I didn't know about that is very easily one of the ways that they're clearly, sure, doing this.
So
the clipboard thing.
That's the problem, is that we're leaking information about ourselves all the time in all sorts of ways we're not aware of. And so I don't think that Amazon Echo or Siri, or I don't think they're listening.
Or the Instagram app or whatever. They're,
yeah,
not listening.
Yeah, my daughter said that her friend shouted at the Instagram app, baby ducks, baby ducks, baby ducks, baby ducks, like 10 times. And then, even though she'd never done anything else with baby ducks, started getting ads for baby ducks. So it's who knows? Who knows? You know, and
I'm
of course,
have to test that myself.
When TikTok does it, that's a little more concerning than when Microsoft's LinkedIn does it, by the way. And I think it's pretty safe to say, great article by Ben Thompson on Stratechery about this today on TikTok. It's safe to say, because of its, you know, the country TikTok comes out of, China, it's fairly safe to say that you could assume that that app is snarfing whatever data it can get. Mm-hmm. And so I am happy that Apple is being more proactive here and warning you when something like this is happening. I don't know if you should rely solely on it, but I think it's a thank you, Apple. It's a really good thing.
I agree. I want to be aware of it at the very least.
Yeah.
There's a new report. It's an exclusive about we saw during the keynote, the WWDC keynote, that the Apple Watch in this next coming iteration of iOS or watchOS will track dances.
And, I love that.
It tracks, of
By
course,
the way, that's, you know, the good tracking. It'll track it for, yeah, the activity monitors, so you know,
yes,
that you've,
exactly,
got some calories burned. Yeah,
you get your workouts in for, yeah, doing workout style,
like,
dances.
Dance. Yeah.
Well, this article goes into detail about how Apple went about getting this information and what it does to, you know, properly track this stuff. So Apple put a bunch of metabolic carts on dancers,
wow,
and then had them perform the dances. And these carts, I guess, have a bunch of different metabolic measurement tools. And then you can, you know, check the breathing response, the heart rate, and all of that information to get a proper and accurate measure of caloric expenditure during a dance workout.
Apple said that when they first came out with the watch, they said they were doing this with other workouts like rowing and bicycling. And they even showed video of athletes with masks on them and motion trackers and all of this stuff as they did these exercises. So they're just, that's how they add a new exercise. They have to monitor and see, first of all, how you detect it reliably. And then second, how do you measure the metabolic effect of those exercises? I honor Apple for doing this event, this effort.
Yeah, I think it's really great. I love this. They would put on their wrist, you know, the Apple Watch, and then have all the other stuff strapped to them as well.
Yeah.
And they would try to figure out how wrist movement related to hip movement. So when a wrist goes this way, what does that mean for a hip on average? And then they took all of this information using the accelerometer and the gyroscope to detect the difference between dancing with just your arms, just your lower body, or dancing with your entire body, and then added in the heart rate data to double check. And so that way it would remove extra calorie credit for just moving your arms, or add in calorie credit if you were doing more than just that. So it's taking your heart rate to sort of use for body movement, as well as your wrist movements to determine how the rest of your body moved, and all of that information together properly with different things canceled out so that it was as accurate as it could be.
So if I just do really- the Elaine dance, I'm not going to get credit.
Right.
I'm not moving my body.
You won't get as much credit. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'll only be the calorie burn for the
thumb. Yeah. Thumb movement. Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought that was pretty a pretty interesting thing. You can read the rest of it. It was the
Hindustan Times.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, let's move on to feedback.
Feedback
questions
from you, the listener.
Yes. So Jeff wrote in to say, last night I got a warning.
I can read it. I got a warning. Tell me a magnetic accessory is not certified for my iPhone and could be degrading my camera. I recently got the iPhone SE upgrading from the iPhone 6S. I used the case Alex Lindsay from MacBreak Weekly recommended, the Vena V Commute. Since the SE was the same size, I just transferred the case over to the new phone. He'd never seen that warning before. That's interesting.
Yeah, so that Dropbox link, that's my Dropbox. If you want to open up
that
screenshot, just so you can see what it shows.
Wow, that is interesting. Now, we know that the iPhone compass is magnetic. Mm-hmm. I did not know that. I thought it was doing something else magically, but no, it's a magnet. So any magnet near the compass will throw it off and you won't be able to get true north anymore. Yeah. On the other hand, or I'm sorry, magnetic north anymore. But on the other hand, damaging the camera, that's another thing. It must be quite a magnet, and it must be near the camera. I think the thing it would damage is the internal optical image stabilization. I think
precisely.
Yeah, those the camera elements move around in a field, and it would conceivably those would be fragile and damaged by a very strong magnet somewhere near the phone. So yeah, I would trust it. I would say don't use that.
I like that Apple is putting up that warning. I wonder how many times they came across this issue enough to, you know, provide that notification for folks.
Well, they strapped a whole array of sensors on people, and they had them walk through magnetic fields. No, I think that's interesting. Yeah, do you get that warning for the compass? I don't think you do. And I've always said it's because a lot of cases have magnets in them, and I've always said, oh, that's fine. Don't worry about it. It's not going to damage your phone. It probably won't damage it. I notice it doesn't say damage. It says just degrade performance. But it is something to be aware of. Both your compass and now apparently optical image stabilization can be affected. It also is using pixel shifting, and I wonder if that might also be affected. Pixel shifting, I don't know if that's a mechanical, but there are definitely some mechanical things inside the camera.
Yeah, I just found that fascinating anyway.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. Paul writes in to say, hey, I'm trying to download the public beta of iOS 14, and for some reason, it's not recognizing my iPhone 11. It keeps on reverting to the following screen attached. And again, this is on my Dropbox. Any ideas? You can see there's no download button, but the grayed out image below. So if you scroll down, there's a part where it says download this profile to the iPhone. Yeah, install profile, and then the button. Keep going.
It's grayed. Yeah, oh. You can't see it because it's so gray. You're just going to have to believe us. It's right here, but it's just so gray that you can't. Wow. It's just not coming through. But that's it says it's a grayed out button that says iOS device required for download. So you do have to make sure that your devices are registered, first of all, so they know that using the same iCloud account that you're using for your developer account or your beta account. So make sure you log in on the same iCloud account that your phone is logged in. And then you do have to download that profile.
Yes. And it's a little bit different now than it used to be. There are a couple thoughts that I have here for you, Paul. So yes, first, you head to beta.apple.com. Make sure that you've registered with that iCloud account for the beta. Then check to make sure that the profile is not already on your phone. So it used to be that.
To be clear, by the way, maybe, and I did this too. I did this on the web.
Mm-hmm.
you have to go on the device you want to download the profile. You have to go to that page.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really important. You can't do it from another device because it's a download link that has to download directly to your phone. So make sure you get your iPhone 11 and then go to beta.apple.com/profile to download that profile. You'll get a grayed out button if you're on any other device. Yeah,
exactly.
So maybe that's
and then you have to pop open, once you've downloaded it, you have to pop open the settings app, and then you'll see a little flag there at the top that says
new profile.
Profile. Now
install it.
My other thought is this: if you are doing all of those things correctly, make sure you're not in private browsing mode, or that you don't have, or temporarily that you don't have extra sort of either Safari cookies or all these things turned off, because some of these devices will try to, or some of those features will try to obscure the profile of your device, meaning that the web browser and the site does not see it as an iPhone, but instead might see it as a, you know, Mozilla. It's accessing it via the Mozilla browser. There are device profiles that different sites and different browsers will sort of pull from a device to figure out what you're accessing from. And I wonder if you're using some sort of private browsing mode or something like that, that it's obscuring the device profile so that the site doesn't know that you're actually on an iPhone. That's my only other thought of what could be going on here for why it's not recognizing it as an iPhone 11.
Of course, make sure you're up to date. You've installed all the updates and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
Both of us did this exact process, and it worked. But it's conceivable that Apple has decided there's something about what you have installed or the way your phone is set up that it doesn't want to do that. And we can't help you if that's the case. Is it time to put on a hat?
Follow up, Paul. I'd love to hear that.
Let us know if you figure out what's going on.
It is time for us to put on hats.
I'm put on this hat because it's so cold outside. I need my special toothy. What is that? A brassiere? What are you putting on there?
Oh no,
that's
I'm putting
chef's hat.
Chef's hat.
Mine has little snaggle teeth in the front because I'm a dinosaur.
That's adorable. Is that new? That's adorable.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever worn it before. Maybe I have. It's really a winter cap.
Oui, oui.
I believe these are made by a local artist, a local dinosaur artist. Why do we wear these silly things? I ask you.
Oh, you're asking me.
I'm asking you.
You're asking me. Yes, we wear these silly things.
Because it's time to cook.
Because it is time to make a chicken pot pie. Because we are so excited about our app picks of the week. These apps that we are either that are new to us and we want to share with you, or apps that we've used for a long time that we think you should know about. And I am excited to tell you about an app called Nudget. Yes, Nudget. N-U-D-G-E-T.
Not Nugget. And Nudget.
Not Nugget, but Nudget. If you are looking for a way to
Nugget.
Very easily budget for yourself, then you have got to check out Nudget.
It's
a
budget with an N.
Yes, exactly. It is a beautifully designed app. This is the developer. His name's Sawyer. He works for Mozilla as an Android developer for Mozilla, which is interesting that as an Android developer, he makes an iOS app, but he has come out with this new iOS app, and it's really awesome. So let's make this simple. When you first log in, whenever you first download the app, you will be presented with this screen. You can tap anywhere to get started. And it says, what is your monthly budget? So I'm just going to make it simple. I'll just type in $1,000 is the person's income. And then let's say that they live in some fantasy world where they pay $250 a month for housing expenses. Wouldn't that be awesome? And then they want to spend, and you can see as I type that in, it shows you the percentages. So 25% of your income is what you pay on housing expenses. And then how much money do you want to have to spend per month? Well, let's say 375, which is about 38%. So that was a recommendation. I'm going to ramp it up a little bit and make it 390. And then we will tap continue. And then how much do you want to save? Yeah, let's go with 360. So we'll tap finish setup. Now, we get to start doing what we want to do. So right here is where I can type in, you know, expenditures, but I want to show the different screens first. There are insights. This is super cool because as you use it, it starts to show you insights into your spending. It shows you, you know, what have you spent overall, what you spend the most on, what categories you spend the most money on. So, hey, you know, you are a big coffee drinker, and you spend a whole bunch of money there. Where you have stopped spending as much money, you know, so, you know, you spend money on groceries at the beginning of the month, but maybe you don't later. And then how the some of those things may have jumped or gone down overall. So if you've got a bit of a clothing purchasing habit, then you can see, oh boy, suddenly you're spending a lot of money on clothing. It will start to create, of course, a graph for you for history. And then it shows you, you know, your daily budget. So I can see in a given day, I make $33 if I were to get paid $1,000, I think it was per month. That means that I pay $8 a day toward my housing expenditures. I can spend $13 and I'm saving $12 a day. You can adjust that so that you see what it is per month, per quarter, et cetera, and have that information there very easily. There are some settings for, you know, changing the dark mode. You can export all of your data at any point. If you want to add cents, it does basic rounding, basically. So let's say I go to the grocery store and I buy 3 avocados. What does that cost? $12? Yeah, let's say that. I can easily type that $12 and then I just tap it, that it's a grocery expenditure. And then enter. Boom. That money's in there. I can already see how much I spent. So the point of this app, and you can add new categories as you go here. So then it starts to develop that information for you. This is an app that wants you to very easily enter your expenditures. I find that a lot of budgeting apps, you end up taking like 5, 6, 7 taps to actually enter any expenditure as you're going along. And Sawyer, you know, in writing about this app, he said, I wanted it to be, 2 taps to be able to type in what I want. So $10, we'll create a new tag called beverages and say that I spent $10 on coffee.
That's pretty good. It should be that easy. It needs to be that easy.
Boom.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah.
And then it lets me know, hey, you're $9 over budget today, so you do need to be careful. But yes, it does need to be that easy. So I just launch the app, I could type that in, and then move on with my day. Also, in iOS 14, I'm excited, there are going to be some excellent widgets that will help you see, you know, what your leftover daily spending is, what your leftover, what you have, you know, that kind of thing. So it will help with your budgeting even farther whenever you get iOS 14. But in the meantime, what I love is how simple it is to enter that information. And what I've seen too is that the developer is very driven to continue to improve upon the app. There have already been several updates to it that add new features and make adjustments to the features that are there. So yeah, you got to check out Nudget. It's available in the App Store for $2.99. No subscriptions or anything like that. You buy it for $2.99 and it's yours. Nudget. Simple budgeting for the rest of us.
That's really a good idea. Did you ever play a game called Machinarium? Does that ring a bell?
It doesn't.
Yeah, it was a great, it was a beautiful puzzle game that was popular on every, it was on every platform. It's from a company called Amanita Design. And they have a new one. My App Cap is their newest puzzle adventure game, Creaks. What I really like is, it's free on Apple Arcade. The rest of the world is going to have to pay for it. It's coming to the Xbox, PlayStation 4, PC, the Switch, July 22nd. Amanita Design usually does that with all their games. But there, you're going to have to pay for it. We get it for free on Arcade. So I just wanted to show you this game because it's really quite beautiful. This is, whoops, too much wiggle. This is Creaks. Now, I don't no spoilers here. I'm a little bit advanced along this game. So, I'm just going to show you a little. Whoa. Okay. There's a robot dog. I'm in a creepy house, and I've got to find my way around this house. Uh-oh. There's puzzle.
That is a big creature.
That's a big creature. So there's puzzles galore. There's also robotic dogs. I gotta jump. Oh, he got me.
Oh, no.
He got me. So we're gonna have to relive that scene real quickly. You can climb ladders, up and down ladders. Oh, there's that other dog. Oh. Okay. As soon as the cutscene ends, I'm going to have to watch that hand again. I'm going to have to get out of here. Get out of here. Run. Yikes. Okay. That knocked the dog back, but it also blocked my ladder out of here. Come on. Jump down. Jump. Oh, he got me again. Okay, there's a little bit of this going on in this game, which I kind of don't like. I'll show you some other things that are going on. Oh, I'm back here again.
Is that the top right? Is that a fast forward button?
Yeah, no, there's... Oh, there is. Look at that. So now I can go... Oh, go! Darn it.
Oh, man.
Jeez. It's a little... It's just... I'm just dumb. So, up again. Fast forward. You're right. Let's skip that. Come on, look down. Jump! Oh, dang it. Okay, I'm never going to get to show you this. Up the ladder. Run. Fast forward. Run. Look.
Oh, there we
finally
go.
Finally got away from that damn
dog.
Okay. There are places I can crawl around. Holes. You can see it's a big old creepy house. There's ladders. I can go up and down.
Oh, no. Another dog.
Oh, let's work. Oh, I've been here before. I remember this dog.
It's dumb.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Let me. Oh, no. Oh, this is bad. Up. Oh, he got me.
Oh, man. I wasn't expecting that. I didn't know to get you on the ladder. That's.
Oh, man. So you see there's controls in the left and the right. Those are the only controls that I'm aware of. So there's a dog there. If I go down. Oh, I've been here, though. So, let's try going up. Can I go up? No. If I jump, nothing there. What I gotta do is get around this dog, I can see. So, I know what I need to do. I need to draw this dog out over here.
All the way, yeah. Yep. And then the other dog to the other spot. Okay.
He waits there for a little while. Then I need to go down here. And get... Whoops. Timing is of the essence here. And I need to draw... Oh, no.
Oh, no!
Oh, crap. Oh, both of them got me that time. So you see what my strategy is.
Yes.
There are other things to do in this game, by the way. Then run away from dogs. Okay, let's get up the ladder. Up. Okay. Got up the ladder. Go down this ladder real quick. Get this dog excited. Come on. Oh, crud. I must be missing something.
Yeah.
I love the artwork. I wonder if there's a way I can go back to the beginning. Let's go back to the beginning because I want you to see a little bit more of this. It is a really beautiful game. So they do give you a way you can look at. Only if we've unlocked them. Oh, rats. So I haven't unlocked those paintings. Let's see what options there are. Language, controls. You can use a controller on this. If you liked Machinarium, I'll reset progress so I can start over again just to give you a little bit of more of a sense of it. So we start in my room. It's not going to be a great game for people who don't like repetitive actions, but I have to say, I think it's such a beautiful game.
Yeah, it's got a very specific design style that it really sticks, which I kind of like.
And if you're used to Machinarium, where you build a robot and then you explore, you'll get this. I have to fix this light several times. Gosh darn it. This darn light seems to be really... It's hot. Whoop! Wallpaper peeled. That's interesting. Let's fix that. Go back here. Sit down. I'm just trying to, read a book. Oh, man. Just trying to read a book here. Let's fix that one more time here. Oh, crud. Uh-oh. Oh, It's a little scary now. Oh, the whole thing unpeeled. Oh. What the heck? What's going on? Let's go look over at that. It's a safe. What's in there?
Is this another world?
Oh, my goodness.
Hello.
Hello. I just really like Amanita design. They have. Fortunately, I have a flashlight. Thank goodness, because I'm going to need that. Let's go crawling here. And see. Ooh, it's spooky. Ooh, wow, I'm in another world.
And he didn't know this was in his own house? Come on, dude.
Come on. Well, so he's a renter.
Oh.
Should I go down that ladder?
Well, now that just makes me suspicious about that one door in my apartment.
Yeah. Ooh, how far down is it? Long way down. Whoa! Oh, no. I can't get back to the... Oh.
Oh, now you're
stuck.
I've
lost my lamp. Well, let's just climb down for a little while. See what's... Whoa, all the way down.
How low does it go?
It goes a long way down. I hope I'm not spoiling this for you. I'm kind of giving you spoilers.
No, this is just the intro.
But it's just the intro. It's just the beginning. And there is where we're going to be crawling around.
Holy moly.
So this is a brand new game. It's called Creaks. It is from Amanita Design. And I love it that we can play it first on Apple Arcade for a week. It'll go wide on July 22nd. But if you have an Apple Arcade, you can play it on your iPad, iPhone, Mac, or Apple TV right now. And if you're paying for Apple Arcade, it costs you nothing. And I think I really like their stuff. If you're just in the mood for kind of an atmospheric, fun puzzle game to play, Creaks.
Creaks.
Creaks. Like creaky stairs. There's a lot of that.
Or like my joints when I wake up in the morning.
Yeah. Me too. I thought that was just an old man thing. Are you creaky
Alas,
in the morning when you get up?
I'm kidding.
No. Can you make
not,
a fist?
Not quite creaky.
Okay, good. All right. You're not old yet.
Got it.
You got time. That's Micah Sargent. Young in mind. No. Young in body, old in spirit. He is the co-host of this fabulous show, iOS Today, where we cover the iPhone, the iPad, the Apple Watch, the Apple TV. Even CarPlay, if we ever want to do CarPlay, I got the unit right here. The head unit's right here, ready to go.
Excellent. Looking forward to it.
We do this show. If you want to watch us do it live, there's a lot of extra stuff that doesn't make it into the final version. Mostly it's us fumfering around. Kevin cuts that right out.
Sometimes some pre-show that
there's
could be
pre-show.
Wrapped into. Yeah. Could be its own show, frankly. Yeah.
Best if you want to see all that stuff. Tune in around 9 a.m. Pacific. That's noon Eastern time. That's 1600 UTC. The live streams, and there's audio and video, are all aggregated at twit.tv/live. So you can pick the stream you want. There's YouTube and there's Twitch and, there's a lot of other stuff. So twit.tv/live. Twit.tv is our website. That's where all the shows we do are made available on demand. Including this show, which is twit.tv/iOS. It's also on YouTube if you want to watch there. Recently, we eliminated the low bandwidth versions. We didn't think anybody really wanted a 480p version of the show. We only offer the 720p version now of the video downloads. Make sure you've got the right feed as well as the audio. A number of people said, hey, I use the low video quality. If you want video, 720p doesn't seem a lot to ask, but you could also go to YouTube. If you have a YouTube premium account, you can download it. If you don't, you probably find a YouTube downloader to let you download any quality you want. They transcode to all the way down to 240p if you want. And so the bandwidth, you can reduce it that way. Best way to reduce bandwidth is listen to the audio version of our shows, and a lot of people do that. That's the smallest version of the show. Micah, how can people ask a question or give us feedback?
Well, I do believe I still hear creaks.
Yeah. Okay, so that's a funny story. Because I had it on my iPad, and I closed my iPad, but it didn't turn it off. And for most of the day yesterday, I rebooted my computer. I couldn't figure out, because it's pretty low level.
Yeah.
But I thought, there's something going on. I don't know. Is that coming from my speakers? I finally figured out it was creaks still running.
Oh, that's so funny. Is there a leak in the house? That's funny.
Because it's very low level and it's just, Yeah.
It's almost atmospheric. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you can send in your questions, your feedback, etc. It's iostoday@twit.tv.
All right.
We'll get it there.
We will be back next Tuesday and every Tuesday. I hope you will too. We thank you for watching. On behalf of Micah Sargent, I'm Leo Laporte. We'll see you next time on iOS Today.
Hey, folks, it's Micah Sargent here, co-host of Smart Tech Today right here on twit.tv. Every single week, Matthew Casanelli and I sit down to talk about smart tech for the week. That's right. It can get kind of complicated, but there's a lot of news out there. There's a lot of products to dig through. There are a lot of questions to answer, and we try to do that all every single week. From voice assistants to wearables to smart garage door openers and lights, there's so much to cover and, well, so little time. So be sure to check it out. It's twit.tv/STT. Huh, that rhymes.